Things that come from within are what defile. Last weekend, Father Dosh read a letter from our bishop addressing the most recent crisis of the church. I heard Father did well. I heard compliments on his composure. He did well as a young priest reading about what is truly unthinkable and what is truly unconscionable, and that is priests sexually abusing children. I commend our bishop for his leadership on writing this letter to us during this time, because we all believe, I believe from my heart, you, the faithful people of God, deserve better. I'm not going to stand here today and say again, I'm sorry. We've heard the apologies over and over and over. We're all sick and tired of apologies at this point. But I've been asked by some of you to comment. You want to hear from your own pastor, rightfully so. I waited a couple of weeks to let the dust settle, but in the last couple of weeks, there just seems to be more blood in the water. In any event, I will comment today. My comments are not perfect. There is not a perfect comment on what is happening, but yet this is my heartfelt response. First of all, let me say, in my last 25 years as a priest, I have personally witnessed how you, the faithful, put up with a lot in your priests. You tolerate lazy priests, those who are late for everything, incompetent managers. You've tolerated bad preachers. You tolerate loud priests, egotistical priests, drunkards, profane chain smokers, the ill-tempered, priests who themselves are angry at the church. Let's face it, we can at times be just downright slobs. If we had wives, there are times we wouldn't be let out of the house because it looked like we dressed in the dark. You put up with a lot in your priests. You put up with me. That's because you love the church. You love Jesus Christ. Generally, Catholics love their priests. But you drew the line. When you heard your priests were sexually abusing your children, you drew the line. And it goes without saying, rightfully so. Or should I say you attempted to draw the line? Think of the souls lost. Think of the souls that will continue to be lost because priests abuse your children. Let me reflect. Certainly not the first time. But the first time it was publicized in the United States that priests were abusing your children was in 1985 out of the state of Louisiana. I was 18 years old at the time. Confused. Couldn't imagine what I was hearing. I remember Dad telling us kids that the church is going through a cleansing. We need to get it all out, and we need to clean up this mess. All right, let's get it all out. Let's clean it up. Let the scandal reveal the truth. When I was 18, being a priest was the furthest thing from my mind. It was by God's providence that I was ordained a priest in 1993, as signed right here. And then another wave. I remember meeting with victims with Father Pete Kramer as a young priest, 93, 94, 95. I thought how sad it was. But I remembered the words of my father. Let's get it out. Let's clean it up. Let's cleanse the church. Almost 10 years after that, 2002, round three, a newspaper by the name of the Boston Globe wrote a series of publications describing how an archbishop knowingly reassigned a priest pedophile who committed sexual assault again and was about to be reassigned again. When I heard that, I thought to myself, thank God for the Boston Globe. What a horrific story. This has to get out. This has to stop. By the way, let's not blame the press for this. If anything, the press has helped us. But in 2002, I said again, let's get it out. Let's clean it up. It was then, in 2002, the American bishops issued the Dallas Charter. This was their sincere attempt to cleanse the church, the zero-tolerance policy, which has really been successful since 2002. But there was still a lot of information that needed to get out. But it was in 2002 where all of us priests gave that homily during the Triduum. So I went back, and because I'm a purebred German-Russian, in 30 seconds I found my homily from 16 and a half years ago. It's my trademark. It's handwritten, yellow legal pad. It's what I like. As I pulled out this homily, I realized that I could have just changed the date on this and read it again to you. This is still what a lot of priests are saying. But I'm sick and tired of saying it because you're sick and tired of hearing it. The real tragedy in clerical sexual abuse is not the embarrassment to the church. It's the grave offense against children and God. Yeah, we know that. We believe that. We've heard that. The real tragedy is not that the Catholic priesthood is tarnished or that I feel uncomfortable in public. The real tragedy is the victims, their families, the parishes which have been literally torn up. We've heard that. The vast majority of priests are faithful. We know that. And we know the vast majority of bishops are good men. Scandal in the Catholic Church is as old as human beings have been members of the church. Enough. Pray for the church. Our church is the place where we have spirit-filled parishes. It's a place that has harbored pedophile priests. Pray for, we know the power of prayer. We pray for the church all the time. We're tired of hearing it. I'm tired of saying it. We want demonstrable action because you deserve better. In 2002, I said to anyone who would listen to me, I said, if we go through this again in a decade or two, we're going to have a problem. 16 years later, almost a decade or two to the year, 2018. The Pennsylvania grand jury report comes out. It reveals how 300 priests abused over 1,000 children, principally boys, decades ago. Shocking. You know what's even more shocking? This Pennsylvania report doesn't even include the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. The truth must be made known. Then we have, on top of that, the horrific McCarrick ending. How could such a man continually be promoted to become the Cardinal Archbishop of Washington, D.C., when it was well known what he was doing? Who pulled him up continually? Well, a former apostolic nuncio, Archbishop Vigano, provided a testimony, an 11-page testimony, telling how he believes it happened, that McCarrick continually was promoted. Archbishop Vigano went all the way to the top, claims the Pope knew, called for the Pope's resignation. In response to Vigano's shocking testimony, a prominent cardinal in our country just said in an interview 5 days ago, the cardinal said this, the Pope has a bigger agenda. He's got to get on with other things. Quite frankly, the cardinal said, they also don't like him because he's a Latino. Pope Francis is born of Italian parents. He isn't any more Latino than I am. You can't make this up. As we say in these parts, we got ourselves a mess. I continually think of all the discouraged souls in the Catholic Church. I think of all that discouragement that Napoleon and Stalin could only dreamed of creating. I'm tired of saying, let's get it out. I'm tired of saying, let's clean it up. If your patience is wearing thin, I hear you. I understand. And I'm with you. Since I was 18 years old, for over 33 years, it has been a slow drip. Drip, drip, drip. What is at the root of this? And who's behind it? I want to say to you again, you are faithful people, and you put up with a lot. I believe the Catholic faithful are some of the most resilient followers ever. And I want to remind you that we will not put up with this. We cannot begin to think that this is just the way it's going to be. I ask myself, does the Catholic Church have within it the mechanisms to correct itself, to get to the root of the problem, to get it all out, to clean it up? Honestly, I don't know at this time. You wanted to hear from me. I'm your leader. You wanted to hear from me. rightfully so. That is why every day I listen to what Pope Francis says, because I want to hear from him. Yesterday, Pope Francis declared that plastic in oceans is an emergency. Can you imagine being a victim of priest sexual abuse? All of these resurfaced emotions, all of this turmoil in the church. And Pope Francis said yesterday, we cannot allow our seas and oceans to be littered by endless fields of floating plastic. In other words, we're being told to move on. Here's what I hang on. I do know that Jesus Christ established this church. When he said to Peter, "You are rock, and I build my church," he established the Catholic Church. And I do know and believe our Lord's promise to that church in the Bible. After he established the church, he promised us that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We have this guarantee from Jesus that the church will be here until the end of time. Although admittedly, we don't know what that church will look like, we do know that it will be here until the end of time. Our second reading from James told us to be doers. I try and be a doer in any way I can. And I remind all of you that your faith in Jesus Christ is not from the hierarchy. Your love of Jesus Christ is not because of the church leaders. It's because of the love you have for our Lord from within. And we do know that the Holy Spirit above all will guide us through this too. And as a priest and as a member of the hierarchy, if you do respect me, it is clear to me at least that that respect must be earned all over again. My dear people, don't lose heart because of your church's leaders. Amen.